Hey, thanks for joining us again on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here at cindysheehansoapbox.com, online only. And remember, you can always reach me at cindy@cindysheehansoapbox.com. Today we have a different kind of a show. We have a person that I really don't know. I don't know James Martinez, our first guest, and I know that he does a lot of activism around credit, debt, monetary issues, and foreclosure issues. I know he has his own radio show, and he talks about these things on his radio show, and we will get to know him together, and we'll get to know his work together. So I'm very excited about learning something new. And this is a very timely issue with the economy tanking and the bankster bailouts, the Wall Street bailouts, printing money right and left. We also have a friend of mine in the studio today, Annie Garrison. We'll be talking about the Blue Angels and the activism that Annie's been doing around that. And we'll be joined later by another friend of mine, another San Francisco activist, Pam Bennett. So stay tuned. After the break, we'll be speaking to James Martinez. This is Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you are listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.cindysheehansoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.cindysheehansoapbox.com. Since John Yoo was recently hired by Chapman University in Orange, California, a grassroots group formed to bring attention to his role in the Bush administration by writing memos that torture could be legally used by the United States in its war on terror. These memos were written after the torture had already begun. In order to bring attention to this travesty of justice and humanity, an academic forum will be held on April 18th at Chapman University from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It will be held in Kennedy Hall, room 237A/B. The event is open to students and the general public. There is no charge. The forum will examine 1. Whether you is complicit in the commission of a war crime. 2. Whether torture is necessary for national security. 3. What is the impact on our basic human and civil rights. 4. The law, Geneva Conventions, U.S. Constitution, and treaties. 5. What about the torture victims? The speakers will include Catherine Darmer Chapman, law professor who will debate John Yoo directly on April 21st, Larry Everest, author of Oil, Power, and Empire, and Fagan Ginger, Amina Kwasi, staff attorney, Council American Islamic Relations, Tim Goodrich, Iraq Veterans Against the War. If there are any questions about the forum, please contact Doreen Marshall, email quitetherebel@hotmail.com, that's quitetherebel@hotmail.com, or her cell is 949-887-0297. Thank you.
Like I said before the break, my guest today has quite an extensive bio. In his bio, it's very interesting to me. He claims that he has helped to eliminate $700 million in credit card debt. And I'm guessing that's consumer credit card debt. And he's helped thousands of people to change their mindsets. His name is James Martinez. I'm very excited about hearing his program, his plan, what he does with people. He is also the host of the Achieve radio show, Cash Flow. We have him on the air with us today. Welcome to the show, James.
Welcome. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate you taking the time. And let me first and foremost say I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
And I wanna commend you on your courage for stepping up to the plate, so to speak. I know it's very difficult for people to do that, and despite what, you know, public opinion may be, good or bad, the fact of the matter is that's not an issue that's easy to deal with on a public venue, so I commend your efforts.
Well, thank you. That was very sweet of you to say that. Like I said, I'm very excited about getting into your program. My very first show for Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, I interviewed Richard Cook. Are you familiar with Richard's?
No, I'm not.
Well, it seems a little bit similar. One of his suggestions for people is to just stop paying their credit card debt, because like it says in your bio, the merchants have already received the money, but it's kind of this fraudulent made-up money. And your bio says that you understand the fraudulent money system. And I think that most of my listeners are pretty sophisticated about that, too. But can you explain your understanding of this fraudulent money system?
Yeah, what I'll do is a lot of that is due to circumstances now is pretty much common knowledge, the existence of the Federal Reserve, the fact that we create money out of thin air, the fact that, you know, credit cards claim they say they loan you money, however, your signature is monetized, and it works within the grounds of the Federal Reserve, but yet most people, you know, when they get these credit card offers, so to speak, through the mail, as we've all have gotten, the presumption is that they're offering you something. Now, so that particular issue right there is the beginning point of the what I have mentioned publicly all over the place is kind of the disease of witchcraft. It's the psychology of the consciousness associated with what people tend to talk about in media, debt consciousness. But here's the thing that's very important that I want to make sure I display and state for you and your audience. This particular issue that we're dealing economically, I want to make sure that people understand that I know people are backed up against the wall. I know that it's the most stressful time probably in the U.S. ever. This is a global issue. It covers every nation, creed, color, religion, everything. When I first started out on radio, I stated clearly, as I've stated multiple times, that this crisis could actually bring people together and create massive, much-needed social change for the better. Now, the issue with the banks and so forth, it is, as far as I'm concerned, it is over. The cat is out of the bag. A lot of the people that have no understanding of banking and what's really going on, and the fact that we create money out of thin air, the fact that it's devalued all over the world, they don't understand that, and they can easily, you know, research that information on the internet or in libraries and books. It's been very public knowledge for a long time. I've been involved in doing this for people well over 10 years. And to answer your question, the hundreds of millions of dollars that I've managed to help people deal with this problem with, I've never, ever, ever stated publicly that there's a debt. I call it alleged debt.
Alleged debt, that's very good.
Until such time as a court and a judge and head of a bank proves in a court of law that they loaned money under, now this is an important topic, digital conditions, that the economy has evaporated because of man's inventions. So let me state for the record that I'm not against the banks. I'm not against the credit card companies. I'm not against the policymakers that have tried to uphold this frame that is falling to pieces and will get worse. Because of what's happened, the people behind the scenes on the highest levels of money realized that the computer changed the world. And they didn't plan on having the problems that we're having now. this orchestration and economic collapse is by design. And the good news is, and before I would get into some of the things that you may ask, is that there are good things coming. I've mentioned publicly, and I've stated it over and over again, that coal fusion does exist. It is going to be one of the answers that is going to obsolesce the need for banking and the need for control. It will change the world. We're at one of the most amazing places in human history right now. This kind of devastation that we're all feeling and desperation, you know, we're all confused about where to point our finger. Most people, like the banks, they like to blame it on the consumers. Yet I tell the banks, and I've stated publicly and spoke to experts, that nobody can even understand what a credit card agreement contract is in the first place. Nobody. And that's been demonstrated in multiple independent film documentaries, such as Maxed Out, directed by James Scurlock, who I've interviewed lots of people. So what I'm trying to say is that I know people are backed up against the wall. I'm kind of with you. I want people, if they're going to go out and go crazy, I want them to demonstrate in a peaceful manner, because I realize, because I hear reports from all over the world about the escalating violence because people are backed up against the wall.
Well, it's very scary. You know, there's there's competition for resources going on in the very levels of our society. And this is what you're talking about. I have, just in your answer to my first question, I already have like a million questions to ask you. But in I just released a new internet book called Myth America, 10 Greatest Myths of the Robber Class and the Case for Revolution. And of course, it's for a peaceful revolution. And it's how we I make a distinction. There's only two classes in our society, the robber class and the robbed class. And and how what you're talking about is the same thing I talk about, is how can we work together to almost like divorce ourselves from the robber class, to get out of their systems and create our own systems that help us, that don't feed into this robber class, into their systems, that just make them rich and make us poorer. But I want to like just restart from everything when you were talking about it. I wanted to talk about, oh my gosh, they say there's trillions of dollars for Wall Street, but there's no money for single payer health care. There's no money for education.
Right.
There's no
right.
money for veterans benefits. But if they just can print money and give trillions to Wall Street and the banksters, why can't they just put trillions of dollars into those programs too? And, you know, a lot of people are talking about going back on the greenback, which is a dollar that is not created by debt, because 90% of our dollars or our money is created by debt. We don't have money that's not backed by debt. But I want to go to where you said that cold fusion is going to just obviate the need for banks. How, please, you know, explain that. And we might take the rest of the time just talking about that.
Yeah, I know we have a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
And let me first say that, because I know people are itching and wondering, how did I orchestrate and get involved with eliminating that much amount of digital kind of non-existent money? And it was done legally. It was done in the courts. It was done in a teaching mechanism over a long period of time. I started it well over 10 years ago. It was actually people in Hollywood that got together. And I come from a background, because I was the kind of protege to an author that wrote a book called Operation Mind Control. And what I was looking at when I initially started this is the behavioral mechanisms in which somebody gets into this alleged debt.
Right.
Because it's designed through media. Our students are attacked in college. That's where it starts. And then, you know, they're giving small amounts from banks that take over. And how do they reinforce that and keep doing it? Because I deal with people every single day from all walks of life. They're totally backed up with alleged credit card debt, alleged signature loans, all these things. And there's an underlying kind of malfunction in the human behavior mechanism, which I go in and I call it reframing. And I kind of condition and train people in perception, how it works, what it's like to live under digital circumstances right now, why it is that identity theft is the secret behind the whole mystery landscape, digital landscape that we're living in now, which has totally changed banking for the entire world. So I wanted to just get that out there so that people don't make the presumption that I did this some magical way. It was a lot of work. A lot of people were involved, and it took a tremendous amount of time and effort from people all over the U.S. to do that. Now, to go back to what you were saying, I have a particular guest that was sent to me during this time when I was developing and understanding how the banks and credit card companies essentially, you know, enslave people. I don't know how to put it any other way, but that's essentially what you're doing. You know, you have your career as a doctor, an engineer, and you have your credit cards. You know,
you're doctors.
And then you go work for the banks.
And I say in my book, that's what we do. We work for the banks. We become, you know, Obama might be a tool of the robber class system, but we're slaves to the robber class system. We're wage slaves. You know, they own almost everything about us.
Right, and for the moment. That is going to end because there is a battle between some of the highest and richest, most powerful banking families in the world, and there is too much at stake to allow those particular oligarchy families to continue because of living under digital conditions, and plus the planet is in dire straits environmentally as well. So something had to come in to replace the current energy systems, which, you know, hold us all together. Secretly released, I mentioned this because my guest is part of the team that released this information about coal fusion opening it up secretly in China. Recently, in the last month, I reported on my particular radio show that, you know, a lot of people, I got a lot of, like, well, this is impossible and it doesn't exist and blah, 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 and I spoke to scientific experts and so forth. And then about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks later, I got emails from all over the world saying, you know, the Department of the Navy came out and said, yeah, this exists. And okay, everybody. So now, for some reason, out of the way, we've got this story that's come out officially about the Department of the Navy re-examining coal fusion, discovering it to be real, and then a week later saying, well, we're not sure if we're correct on saying that. Now, whether that's by design or not, what's more important is that in order for this resolution to take place, obviously you know as well as I do in the G20 meeting that we can't continue making money, you know, creating money out of thin air. It's just not going to work. It will not work. This the administration is not addressing at all in any media formats anywhere what it's like to live under digital conditions and what's really happening, why the computer changed the world, why it is that I can sit outside of somebody's house with the right technology, wait for somebody to go online, and through a mechanism, through satellite conditions that we have now, I can go in and ride in a signal, take anybody's information, steal it, and extend it over to somebody else in a different country, charge on these particular kind of plastic ideas of money that we have, and break somebody's identity as well as create money out of thin air, and steal. Now, imagine that's just one person doing it with small time. Imagine doing that if you're on a very, very high level when there's billions and trillions at stake. The ability to go in under digital conditions and hack in at any point, at any place. So that kind of destroys our concept of money. Or what's happened now is because of the situation we're in, we're seeing the individual identity crisis throughout the world of the people that have had and now have not, and the people that have never had and now they are starting to have less. So this, what's happened is the internal environment of a human being now has completely changed. People are completely stressed out. They don't know what to do. There's well-intentioned people that I speak to from all over the world that want to do the right thing, but how are they supposed to do the right thing if there's no job, if there's no way to go, if they're already working two jobs already? So what are we going to do? So what I have presented through many years on radio is a way of addressing that and having a legal remedy to go out and go to the place where everything begins and ends, and that's a court of law.
Well, let's talk about that. We're going to have to take a quick break, and let's talk about the solutions to all of these problems that you just presented, and we'll talk about how we do go about and how you've been able to eliminate millions of dollars of credit card debt. So you're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm Cindy Sheehan. Our guest is James Martinez of the Achieve Radio Show Cashflow. We'll be right back after the break.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you're listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.cindysheehansoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.cindysheehansoapbox.com.
Hi, this is Cindy, and in my studio today, I have a very dear friend of mine, Pam Bennett. She worked on my campaign for Congress. We got to know each other when I came here to San Francisco to run against the queen of the robber class, Nancy Pelosi, and we worked very hard together. Pam is an artist. Pam is an anti-war activist, a pro-justice campaigner. She's done a lot for disadvantaged people here in San Francisco. I'm very happy to welcome her into the studio. So here is my friend Pam and I were going to read an email I got from a sailor whose name is Timothy Thomas.
Dear Cindy, I admire your strength, courage, and creativity in your efforts to stop the Iraq War. I, too, am an Iraq War veteran. I lost a buddy on September 4th, 2004. His name was Eric Lyle Knott. He was 21 years old, and I knew him since he arrived at Naval Mobile Construction Battalion 4. After he died at Camp Fallujah, Iraq, the camp was renamed Camp Knott.
Knott was a special kind of troop. He was the unusual troop that was liked by absolutely everyone. I admit that I was somewhat the opposite of Knott, but he was probably one of the only people who never had a problem with me. By the way, my name is E01SCW, Timothy A. Thomas. I am technically still a first-class petty officer in the U.S. Navy Seabees.
I have had problems sleeping since my tours in Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom. I drink a lot. I have a lot of bad dreams about the terrible things that we did over there. Personally, I believe that Bush was suckered into the war by Saddam Hussein, and now we are stuck in the mud over there.
I have seen some really bad things that happened in Iraq at the hands of the U.S., The pride I once had as a result of serving in the armed forces of the United States has been diminished by the Iraq War and unlawful policies that violate the Geneva Conventions and the laws of armed conflict that I was taught during combat training.
I do not believe that there was any benefit of starting this war or any justification. Obama claimed he would end the war during his campaign, but we all see that was bullshit. We are still using remote control airplanes to kill people in Afghanistan and Pakistan without due process. I applaud your anti-war efforts. I wish you success, and I hope that it is not too late to end this stupid war on terrorism. Don't give up until our troops are back home. Sincere regards, Timothy A. Thomas.
And Pam and I just read this email from Timothy with his permission to read the email and use his name. I think he's a very courageous man.
So do I.
Thank you for staying tuned. This is Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. We're talking to James Martinez, and we're having a very interesting conversation. So, James, before the break, you presented the problem of this digital world that we live in now and the ability of this fraudulent money to just be passed around basically from computer to computer to computer, or to be taken out of that. I think many people have had that experience where there's been some kind of a glitch in the system and money has disappeared, and it's very hard to get it back a lot of times. But what is your solution, and what can specifically can my listeners do to become more independent from this debt system?
Well, there's multiple ways of dealing with things. Some people that have the cojones to go in and represent themselves in court can do that. There's multiple settlement procedures. I would say for people that you know, for students, everybody comes to me with, I've had people come up to me with, sometimes the highest has been like $800,000 of alleged credit card debt, all the way to small amounts with $2,000 or $3,000. So that amount and the psychological impact and, you know, the historical measure, because when people show up to me, they've got years and years and years of this concept of this alleged debt and what it's done to their personality, their family, their lifestyle, and so forth. So what I try and do is make them, without reacting in rage and anger towards the banks, is to come to realize what they've done, how they've done it, and what to do to get out of it.
Well, when when they go to court, what are their claims? What is their basis for their claims, and what kind of court do they go to? And does it cost, like you said, some people hire lawyers, some people represent themselves, but what kind of court do you go to, and what kind of paperwork do you file?
Well, for those of people that understand, and I wouldn't suggest everybody do this because it's only for people that really understand the concept and know the civil rules of procedure for their local courts. I used to, many years ago, we'd send out a dispute letter based on Title 15, Section 1666 of the code there regarding the concept of the Fair Credit Billing Act. In fact, there's enormous amounts of argumentative issues that one can put forth if they know how to handle themselves in court. However, there's other ways, should somebody have the available cash at a moment, to settle these particular matters themselves. However, most people want to get lawyers involved, and they're afraid, they're so full of fear that they don't want to handle it themselves, and that's understandable, because a lot of times when people have made settlements, they've gotten sued on the other half because they didn't do the settlement correctly in terms of the paperwork and so forth, because I've seen every single type of corrupt action from these alleged debt issues from every bank that we've all heard of out there. Every single, I know who the dirtiest ones are, I know who the less dirtiest ones are. And another way of doing it is I individually deal with people myself and give them an opportunity to get out of it entirely legally through contract law. And I would suggest if people are trying to get a hold of me in terms of wanting to look at this, they may call me at a number, and I give a kind of overview of what that process particularly is, and then I talk to everybody individually prior to them beginning anything to see where they're at and what the best situation is. Because here's the thing, I get asked this question all the time. Well, after this is done, will I be able to fix my credit report? And I'm like, I tell them, I say, listen, people don't even know what their credit reports really represent and who's running the establishment, why it is there. It's really a kind of your work resume, how good of a participant you've been in borrowing and paying and, you know, enriching those people that at the various highest levels, you know, supposedly offer this to you. So you could be more convenient in life, and, you know, you don't want to carry cash around because, you know, there's too many dangers with that, even though lots of us have done it for years and years and years. So I deal with everybody one-on-one. They call me at the following number, which is 888-213-7655. I talk with everybody individually myself, explain to them their options of what they could do themselves, or I deal with another company that specializes in this that gives a person ability to get out of this legally. Instead of running away from the alleged bank, because most people are absolutely terrified, I totally reframe their entire consciousness so they understand what's going on, and so they assert themselves in a kind of smart, peaceful manner, because I know everybody's incredibly upset and they're highly stressed out. Most of the time, it's my job's kind of like being more of a psychologist than anything else and dealing with actual, you know, the alleged debt situation. So what I do is I counsel them. I ask them obviously to tune in to my broadcast so they can understand the argumentative issues, what's really at stake, what they really need to do to change their behavior so that they don't have to have to deal with this situation ever again, and then go about reinforcing that new behavior. Because basically what I deal with is like heroin addicts. These people have been, you know, in a certain thinking pattern for sometimes 10, 15 years, and all of a sudden they can't manage the situation they're in. The credit card agreements by design are designed for you to work for them forever. Now, let me just make sure if people don't understand this. A lot of people are, you know, into the television theater body. There is a movie made called The International. That movie pretty much demonstrates and explains what has happened. What it did not say is what the computer did to banking. So the solutions for people are not to go out and demonstrate against the banks. The solution is to demonstrate what you do want, not what you don't want. If you demonstrate what you don't want, you will get more of that. Demonstrate what you do want. New technologies to obsolesce the concept of money, because everybody in the world right now, including all over the U.S., their internal value system, what is worth to them, is changing. They don't care about having 5 houses and 3 Mercedes and a trophy wife anymore. They want a job. They want a roof over their head. They want an automobile that's efficient. All of this has changed. I know it's extremely difficult for people to handle, but I am a big proponent, as you are, of demonstrating this in a peaceful manner to avoid the escalating probable violence from all the ignorant people there that are just reacting without understanding the entire story. If they understood the entire story, we wouldn't have riots up in Scotland and Sweden and other parts of the world where these countries have gone bankrupt because they don't understand what's happened.
Well, it's very difficult, too, like you said. If we do escalate our protests into violence, that would just give the government or the robber class, that would just give them the excuse to declare martial law and to suppress our demonstrations very violently. And I think that that might be something that the robber class wants. So that's why.
Yeah,
they do want.
I agree.
Yeah,
I
that's
agree.
Why I think we need to do this, these, like you said, in very intelligently, very peaceful ways, and to realize that in the robbed class, we're all in this together. The other day, Obama made me really mad because he said, you know, we have to be patient. We have to give these banks, we have to give AIG more money. We have to support the CEOs and their lifestyle because we're all in it together. Well, we're not in it together with Obama and the robber class. We're in it together here on our level, and we have to transcend the divisions that the robber class wants to impose on us, you know, like political party, religion, even gender and things like that. And of course, race. And so we have to transcend that and to help each other through these difficult times. Because if I'm laying awake at night worried about my bills, I know there's millions of people all over the world doing the same thing. And I'm not the only one that's doing it. I want to ask you, did you hear about the case? And I wrote about it in my book. And if I you know, knew I was going to talk about it, I would have had the exact name. But it was a case of a man whose bank was trying to repossess his house. But he made the same claim that you did, that he put 10% of his hard-earned money and hard-earned labor into the down payment, but the bank put nothing into it. It was, like you said, it was this fraudulent money. It was this funny money, and
right.
He actually won his case.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have other good news, too. I also represent fixmortgagefraud.com, where there's been multiple cases all over the U.S. of people that have saved their homes. They've done it through the legal process. They've re-examined the nature of the loan. I might add as well that there's gag orders on most of these success cases because they're, you know, they don't want everybody to know about this. But look, if people, you know, are put into a corner, there's going to be violence. And a reason why I'm even doing this is to alleviate that. I'm actually trying to help the banks because I know in their head they're ill. Because they're very mentally ill, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. Because we're in a situation now that's the tensions are rising, and I'm concerned because I hear reports from people all over the U.S. and other parts of the world, what's going on in their town, what's going on in their courts, what's going on in the city. There's people have already started using their own kind of systems of money. It's kind of there's a kind of anarchist nature that's going on. They're completely, totally paranoid and scared of our police officers, and I'm trying to address these police officers as people, not as their titles, as people, and understand what they're representing. Because I ran into an incident yesterday where I saw, you know, police authorities get very unnecessarily, wouldn't call it violent, but...
rough?
Yeah, when they didn't need to be. And I really, because crime has gone up because of this economic situation. People are back up against the wall. So I want to make sure, and I've always said this, that I'm doing this to help you bankers as well. And part of the thing, one of the things I'm involved with, Cindy, is probably the first television show ever that's going to be put together by some great minds that is designed to use these new technologies for efficient living, for a different type of mathematical economic system. If you go to YouTube and go to Imagine This TV Show, there is a preview of this particular thing. I'm on the advisory board of that particular production company, and some of the top people in the entertainment business now are coming together to promote these new technologies, because it's these new technologies that will dictate modality, and it will obsolesce the idea and concept of money. I realize that right now we're headed towards kind of this world economy,
mm-hmm.
and one kind of world bank thing that everybody's talking about, this new world order and this whole story. Well, that's going to fail. It will fail. It will not work out the way they want it to because of these new technologies and people behind the scenes that are looking at a much bigger picture 10, 15, 20 years down the road. So I want to make sure that your audience knows that.
Well, you know, I've only been doing this since my son was killed, and most of the time I was in, you know, anti-war, but I've started to expand my scope, realizing that everything is connected. When I ran for Congress, of course, I had to broaden my platform. But, you know, one thing that I think is that they look, and when I say they, I mean the robber class. And I hate to, like, make it an us versus them kind of thing, because I'm with you, too. The police used to come from the working class, and they used to be there to protect us. Now it seems like they're there to carry out the robber class oppressions against us. Yes, exactly. And so, you know, I'm totally with you on about how, you know, we should do this to make it peaceful for us and make it peaceful for everybody. You know, that's listening to, I mean, everybody in the world, the United States uses up so much of the resources, so it takes so much of the money and the world's resources. And we're such a small percentage of the planet. And then people around the country, the world are, of course, highly resenting us and resenting our lifestyle that is responsible, I think, for them, you know, telling us about the American dream is responsible for for the place we're in right now, for the trouble that the entire world is in right now. But anyway, there's so many things that you brought up that I think is more important that we need to delve into. And I'm going to ask you to give me links to the cold fusion story, to everything you talked about, the mortgage, the fraudulent mortgage link, the credit card link, how people can get a hold of you. And I'm going to ask you to email that to me so I can link all those things on my website so people can delve more deeply into what you're talking about, you know, which I thought was super interesting. The TV show that you said is coming up, that we can work together and we can get, I think you're right, I think we can get through this, but it's going to take a lot of hard work and it's going to take all of us working together.
Oh, it will not work unless the people that have the most movement in media culture, hence celebrities who can move culture, are going to have to step outside of their own individual narcissistic, sociopathic tendencies to, you know, exploit their image. They're going to have to step up to the plate, forget their titles, forget their place in society, and they're going to have to lend a helping hand and understand this issue before they make actions. It's really about they have to understand what has happened and not take it out on each other or, you know, the or anybody for that matter, because we've all lost. On my website, jamesmartinezlive.com, there's an insignia there. And it also says, it won on 8-26-08. What I'm referring to there is the technology. That was the date initiated when the this frictionless base energy started secretly. It had to be done, and it's been done very carefully.
Now we're out of time, and you're introducing a whole new topic. So we're going to have to direct my listeners to websites that they can learn more about this on their own, because unfortunately we're out of time. So James Martinez, thank you for being on the Soapbox. And like I said, send me all those links so we can really study more. And I know a lot of celebrities that would be willing to help in this because, you know, they are not narcissistic. They realize that they're also in it with us too. So maybe we can rally them to the cause. So thank you for being on my show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we'll talk to you soon. And I hope my listeners get a hold of you and, we can work through this crisis together. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. This is Cindy Sheehan. We'll be right back after the break.
Hi, my name is Pam. I live in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, and I have been a supporter of Cindy's since she announced she was going to run for Congress against Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi. I worked tirelessly on her campaign because I believe in Cindy, and I believe in the cause of peace and justice that she stands for. If you're listening to this show, then more than likely you support Cindy too. Please consider making a donation to keep Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox airing on the web. It is important for me to be able to continue to hear the truth. In a world where truth and courage are in such short supply, Cindy fills that void. Please go to www.cindysheehansoapbox.com and click on the donate link. That's www.cindysheehansoapbox.com.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox here at cindysheehansoapbox.com. My next guest is a San Francisco Green Party member. She's an activist on so many levels. She is an environmental activist. She works with issues in Africa. And today we're going to be talking about the Blue Angels. Her name is Annie Garrison. Annie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Cindy.
We got to know each other, of course, when I ran for Congress, and you supported my candidacy. The Green Party here in San Francisco endorsed me. But what we were working on, and I didn't have a lot of time to work on it during the campaign, was the Blue Angels, them appearing here every year during Fleet Week. And to us, you and I and many other people in San Francisco, that is just an overt display of militarism used for recruiting our young people.
Most fundamentally, it is a recruitment drive. Today, I posted the simplest statement from the Blue Angels website FAQs, explaining that this is first and foremost a recruitment drive. To my Facebook page, it says that the military demonstration teams never fly within 150, I think it's miles of one another, because they exist to recruit, and that is not a good use of recruiting resources. The GAO orders the
teams. So you mean there's different teams?
There are different teams.
And the teams don't appear closer than 150 miles. They appear farther than 150 miles to spread out their recruitment efficiency.
Yes. Now, actually, this was addressing the issue of why the Air Force Thunderbirds and the Navy's Blue Angels don't fly in the same shows.
Right.
Because they are the lead demonstration recruitment teams. There are others. There are many others who actually come with the Blue Angels. There's the Viper West, the Collaborators, the Jet Patriot team, and the Canadian Snowbirds. They have all appeared here and often do with the Blue Angels. But the Air Force Thunderbirds and the Navy's Blue Angels never fly in the same show because they are the Pentagon's lead demonstration flying teams and recruiters.
And you actually had some statistics about their recruiting efficiency that you told me one time.
It took me quite a long time to determine this, but I was quoted a minimum 1,000 recruits. 1,000. I actually spoke to a naval petty officer, Robert Hernandez, who said that they got thousands of leads in the 2007 Fleet Week Blue Angels recruitment drive. They got thousands of leads. He said, oh, it's great. Even in Northern California, it was just great. I said, well, how many recruits do you think you'll get out of these thousands of leads? At that point, he got a little nervous and he said, well, 1,000. Somebody else was on the phone with me and he said that Naval Petty Officer Robert Hernandez had not been worried about anyone reacting negatively, that he had actually been afraid that I might be a senator's daughter or something, and if he had overestimated, he might have given me the idea that we could go start another war. So he was underestimating.
Well, I have many problems with this kind of overt militarism myself. And, you know, I have a problem with them coming and flying within feet of my office in on the mission. And then I think, how must it be to live in a war zone with these things flying back and forth all the time and terrorizing the citizens? Because it's very scary to have those things flying over your home, over your office or whatever here in San Francisco. But we at least know that they're not going to bomb us. And, you know, people in other countries don't have that luxury. However, the problem I have is that one of my campaign volunteers and interns is going to read a letter from a naval sailor who was stationed not at a port, not anywhere on a ship. He was stationed in Fallujah, Iraq, that is landlocked, and he saw many of his fellow sailors die. So the Navy is going to lie to these people, saying that they're not going to be stationed in a country, that they're not going to be in a war zone, that they're going to be out of harm's way. But even if they are, they are allowing other people to be in harm's way and supporting that. So what have you done in this anti-Blue Angel campaign, and how effective has it been here in San Francisco?
Well, I can't say that I have been very effective yet.
Because you haven't been trying.
Not because I haven't been trying. I think I probably know. I think I'm probably the resident expert on the Blue Angels. But I sometimes gather too much information and share too much, which obscures the most important thing that we should all understand, which is that the city of San Francisco requests the Blue Angels air show. They would not come if we did not request them, if someone did not request them in our name. I was very surprised in 2007 to learn, one, that their primary purpose was to recruit. In all these years, I had not realized that because, like so many people here, I just don't want to go anywhere near them. I didn't know that was what it was about.
Right.
So I learned to my shock in 2007 that this is a massive military recruitment drive. Now, everybody else in the country knows this. And they tended to react that we must be in some kind of bubble if we didn't know that was what it was all about. It is. The GAO even says, you got to get maximum return for your recruiting resources. And there's no way that they would send this much hardware and personnel if they were not recruiting hugely. Okay, so they're here to recruit, and they come at the invitation of the city of San Francisco. In 2007, Mayor Gavin Newsom bragged about having invited them. He was proud of having invited them. In 2008, for some reason, well, he backed off. He said no, he had nothing to do with it. The Port Commission had invited them. Well, Mayor Gavin Newsom appoints the entire Port right. Commission, but he was wanting to distance himself from it that year. This year, I submitted a Sunshine Task Force ordinance request asking to know who had invited them for 2009. It's gone unanswered. So, Cindy, I'm suggesting that you and I go down to District Attorney Kamala Harris's office and ask her to take action against Gavin Newsom for failing to comply with the state of California and the city of San Francisco's freedom of information laws.
And that's mandatory for them to comply with those
Well,
laws.
It's the law. It's the law, but
you know that people in power don't have to. There's two sets of laws in this country, one for us and one for people in power. Karl Rove doesn't have to appear for subpoenas to Congress, but I get dragged out for wearing a shirt, right. You know, that offended whomever it offended. So we do have two sets of laws. And I have been to the Board of Supervisors with you. You know how they dragged that hearing out. So I had to leave before I could make a comment. And, you know, I'll be happy to go up to Ms. Harris's office with you to urge this compliance. But what can we do in the short time we have left, citizens of San Francisco? Because, you know, I know that San Francisco, most people, they want our troops to come home. And but they don't realize that there are some fundamental systemic things that have to happen before we can have true change in this country. And one of them is counter-recruitment. So what can we do? And this isn't just a San Francisco issue. This is a national issue, and this is a global issue, militarism. So what can my listeners do? They could write Ms. Harris or the mayor.
Well, actually, the mayor, I would say the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. There is nothing in the San Francisco City Charter that says who has the power to invite the nuclear weapons capable Air Force to come flying over our heads and the nuclear Navy to come flying into the bay to recruit thousands of soldiers to go fight in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Africa. Nothing in the city charter says who has the power to do that. The Board of Supervisors could make the Blue Angels unwelcome. I've never seen so much power right in a few people's hands mm-hmm. that you would think they would want to exercise that is not being exercised. If tomorrow the Board of Supervisors passed a resolution saying, we are canceling San Francisco's invitation to the Blue Angels Air Show recruitment drive, thanks for the memories, it would be over.
And it's not just San Francisco. Our small 7x7 square plot of land here, it's the Bay Area. You know, it's millions of people in the surrounding communities that are affected by the Blue Angels and by what Mayor Gavin Newsom and our Board of Supervisors, their decisions, whether they're positive or negative, correct?
Yes, the recruits do not seem to be from the city of San Francisco. They're most likely from the East Bay, and there's some thought about where else they might come. I mean, it's possible that they come from other places and that the armed services fly them in here for a good time in a Blue Angels air show and then sign them up.
Well, Annie, unfortunately, we're out of time. I'd like to thank you for coming to the studio, but how can my listeners reach you, or do you have a website that they can get more information? Because I do think we need to follow up on this and follow up with Ms. Harris and follow up with the Board of Supervisors. But my listeners, a lot of them aren't from San Francisco, so they'll need contact info for these people.
Okay. Let's see. You could just write to me at my email address, anniegarrison@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook, on Dig. And a lot of what I write is in the San Francisco Bayview National Black Newspaper. I would recommend that anyone who wants to know more about this go to the official website of the Blue Angels Air Show and read the FAQs. You will see there that the Blue Angels say they go nowhere if they are not invited. So all you really have to do is go to your city and ask them to cancel the invitation. Thanks for the memories.
Let's uninvite them. And you can reach Annie at anniegarrison@gmail.com. That's anniegarrison@gmail.com. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you, Cindy.
Hopefully we'll have something soon to report that's positive. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here at cindysheehansoapbox.com. When we come back from the break, I'll be doing my soapbox rant, so stay tuned.
Since John Yoo was recently hired by Chapman University in Orange, California, a grassroots group formed to bring attention to his role in the Bush administration by writing memos that torture could be legally used by the United States in its war on terror. These memos were written after the torture had already begun. In order to bring attention to this travesty of justice and humanity, an academic forum will be held on April 18th at Chapman University from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It will be held in Kennedy Hall, room 237A/B. The event is open to students and the general public. There is no charge. The forum will examine 1. Whether Yoo is complicit in the commission of a war crime, 2. Whether torture is necessary for national security, 3. What is the impact on our basic human and civil rights, 4. The law, Geneva Conventions, U.S. Constitution, and treaties, 5. What about the torture victims? The speakers will include Catherine Darmer Chapman, law professor who will debate John Yoo directly on April 21st, Larry Everest, author of Oil, Power, and Empire, and Fagan Ginger, Amina Kwasi, staff attorney, Council American Islamic Relations, Tim Goodrich, Iraq Veterans Against the War. If there are any questions about the forum, please contact Doreen Marshall, email quitetherebel@hotmail.com, that's quitetherebel@hotmail.com, or her cell is 949-887-0297. Thank you.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox here at cindysheehansoapbox.com. Don't forget to email me with your listener rants, with your Ask Cindy questions at cindy@cindysheehansoapbox.com. Please go through the website today because we have a lot of links that, and a lot of very provocative information from my guest, James Martinez. I think he brought up a lot of issues that we didn't have time to really explore during the interview. So please check his links. Contact him. Contact Annie Garrison to find out what we can do to end the overt militarism of the Blue Angels. And today I'm going to talk about an activity that I am going to be doing here in the next few months. I'm taking the soapbox and I'm taking my book, my new booklet, my internet booklet, Myth America, 10 Greatest Myths of the Robber Class and the Case for Revolution. I'm taking it on the road and we're going all over America. We're talking to people in conservative areas, liberal areas. My very first stop is going to be in New Mexico, Albuquerque, Taos, Santa Fe. Then we're going to Eureka Springs, Arkansas. We're going to Kansas City, Missouri. We'll be in Alabama. We'll be, of course, in Texas and Florida and Philadelphia, New York City, New Hampshire, Massachusetts. And then we're going to go up and down California, Oregon, and Washington with this book, talking to people to rally the robbed class for this case for revolution. And how can we join together as people across, like I was talking about with James, across all of these cultural, these false cultural divides here in the robbed class to get together, to elevate ourselves into the independent class. And you can get more information on my tour, especially the April dates, which start April 17th and end April 26th. at cindysheehansoapbox.blogspot.com. And I have the venues, I have contact information, and I'm hoping that you'll come out to meet me and you'll participate in these discussions that that are so important, like we were talking about earlier, so important so we can survive what the robber class is trying to do to us. They steal our money. They steal our labor. They steal our children to die in their wars when their children are exempt or when they don't, their children don't participate in the wars that they start for profit. So we're not going to be able to overthrow their system until we make our own systems. And if I didn't mention one of your towns or it's not listed on my website, you can volunteer to organize an event in your city, town, or village to have me come. And I'm also calling it the Seat of Our Pants Tour, because I'll be going from town to town, supported, like my campaign was supported in a grassroots way, like the soapbox is supported in a grassroots way, because this is the only way that we are going to make true systemic change. I'm very excited about hitting the road again and just organizing, meeting people, and working with people so we can elevate our conditions in life. And we can bring peace. We can challenge the robber class to bring our troops home from Iraq and Afghanistan, but the best thing we can do is to never send our children in the first place. Okay, and your soapbox assignment for today is to contact Annie Garrison and find out more about the Blue Angels. So go to the Blue Angels website and go to their frequently asked questions site, and they'll just blatantly tell you what they're all about. And to help us to eliminate the Blue Angel stain over the in the skies of San Francisco, over our town, over the Bay Area, and also to check out the links for James Martinez. Well, that's the end of the show today. As always, I'd like to thank you for listening. I'd like to thank you for supporting the Soapbox, true independent radio, true left radio. I'd like to thank my guests, James Martinez and Annie Garrison, and my friend Pam Bennett for coming in the studio and helping me record some things today. As always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Scott Cuddy, and my webmaster, Rich Bowser. You're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox at cindysheehansoapbox.com. Tune in next week. Thank you.
I must make my witness. I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. Dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes. As if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman, because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
up now. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore! Just get up from your chairs right now. Go stick your head out and yell and keep yelling, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore! Just get up from your chairs.